chapter 2. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to WMKT, 1270 AM and 102.3 FM, and you are listening to the services of First Baptist Church of Petoskey, Michigan. And I say that because people in Wisconsin can hear us. And this last Sunday, a couple from Ohio tuned in to listen. And I know that there are folks like Bill McCune in Florida who tunes in to listen sometimes. And so, howdy, guys. And through the laptop. I was traveling to go deer hunting this last time. I listened to our station off and on, and you'll be interested to know it cut out for good about 10 miles this side of Crystal Falls. If you look at a map in the UP, that's a long ways across, eh? And we have gotten letters from as far southeast as Edmore. And that's a ways down there. So we're thrilled to be able to minister to folk. If you're not able to go to church or between churches, then we're glad to be able to minister to you. Last week, we looked at God's call of Saul the Pharisee. And remember that he told Ananias, I have to show him how many things he is going to suffer for my name. He is going to suffer, not he may. Not if he doesn't do things right, he will. But the things that he will suffer for my name. Remember we said that Paul had to suffer to understand the Bible that was written by sufferers for sufferers, to share with a world that is full of suffering, to understand the answers and the questions the Bible was written. And Paul then must suffer to understand the Bible and share it with Gentiles. As of course, well, he certainly shared it with his fellow Jews, but if he's going to break the Bible down into understandable ideas for Gentiles that have never heard of Yahweh, then he must suffer to understand all of the ideas of the Bible, because it's written for sufferers. Because this world is full of suffering everywhere, all the time. This world has always been and will always be full of, until Christ comes back, full of disease and war and bugs that eat the crops and drought and hurricanes and blizzards and floods and prostitution and slavery and addictions and divorce and death, slander, murder, thievery, con men, affairs, demonic influence, earthquakes, rust, terror, and so on and so on. This is a hard world that we live in. Because of sin, Adam and Eve entered a world with no medicine, no home, no job, no friends, no police, no army to protect them from the monsters running around. Abel was murdered by his brother. Abraham went through famines. Everyone suffered under Nimrod. Daniel was emasculated and kidnapped. Ezekiel was dragged off to a muddy river to live. Jeremiah was thrown in a dungeon and despised. Isaiah was chased by a king and sawn in half. Solomon was lonely. Levi was despised. Peter was crucified. Paul was whipped. And Esther lived with a spoiled rich brat. Everyone on earth suffers in one way or another, sooner or later, or all the time. I was reading a book about Lincoln lately, his team of rivals, and I had never heard about his opponent, Salmon Chase. He was married to a white woman that he loved and had a beautiful daughter by her. And so his wife died, and then his daughter died, and he married again, and that wife died, and he married again, and that wife died, and he gave up. that I've had enough loss, can't take no more. That is our world. Listening today, I know that we have widows who remember their husbands. And some of them have children nearby, and some have kids far away who care for them. Some have kids who never make it home. This week, I talked with a woman who had moved here to this area. She has children, a bad job that she doesn't like, and says, I don't know how on earth I'm going to make it. I am alone. And that's better than where I came out of. A friend of mine just heard this week that he has cancer. An acquaintance of mine just heard this week that our company is finished and you have no job. A relative of mine has a husband who refuses to work. Is willing to lose the house. It's all on her. There is suffering all around us. There are children all around us, not just seniors, but children all around us who suffer for the sake of their parents' sins. They don't understand it. They don't know why they're so poor. They don't understand why daddy does the things he does. They don't understand why his mommy and daddy fight like they do. Heavenly Father, we come today to your throne, to your word. We want to be able to share something with people that can help them. We want to share with them the heart of the scripture, your heart that's in the scripture, your unique heart that is in the Bible. Speak to folk today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered for a tax. This was not an accident. God the Father spoke in Augustus's ear, and he never knew it. But God wanted this registration so that his child would be born in a certain city at a certain time. And so God has moved this emperor who thinks that he is all-powerful. Verse 2, the census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. He thought he was in charge of Syria. God the Father was in charge of Syria, which included Israel. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he had been born into the house of Bethlehem, and that property used to belong to David, to be registered with Mary, who was also descended from David through a different person, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and brought him outside and showed him to the army that was standing outside ready to defend him. And brought him outside to show to the lords and the princes of the world that had come to see God in the flesh. No, God, the Son, has come and been born as a baby, with no army, with no street creds, with no power, no defense. He will live by faith as you and I must. He will live and learn and grow as you and I do. He will give ideas. His ideas are what will change the world. Not his life, not his miracles, not even his death. It is the ideas that he brought that changed the world. There have been a lot of people who did supposed miracles, and there have been a lot of people who died an awful death. But they did not change the world. Jesus did. It was the resurrection idea that changed everything. And then it explained the cross idea. It was the clear conscience idea, the fellowship with God idea, the family of God idea that changed everything. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Into this mess, the angels came saying, "Don't be afraid." It's not just of the angels. You know, shepherds look up and there's mighty shining beings. It's not just the angels. Don't be afraid of the governor. Don't be afraid of his army. Don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of your bills. You don't need to be afraid anymore. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for everyone. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who will clean your heart and clean your conscience, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you shall find a little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Even at Christmas, even with the bills, even with the family relationships, all the time, even with a bad prognosis and a bad diagnosis, even with all the things that can get us down, and on earth, we said, "Peace to you." Yes, he means the millennium, but he means right now as well. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Jesus continues with this peace idea, and he gives a sermon on the plateau. Now, Matthew gives a sermon on the mount. Luke relays a sermon on the plateau. They are the same sermon, but they have little differences because Jesus preached the same sermon 1,000 times, 2,000 times, 3,000 times in 3 years. Everywhere he went, it was the same basic sermon because people needed to remember it and know it and understand it. He had different people every time. So he surely probably talked about other things, but I know that he gave this more than once. So he then gives this sermon in verse 20. "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." That's what I would basically like to talk about the rest of the day. Because this is what Jesus came to tell a depressed, broken, hurting, wounded, lonely world. It starts here. "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." But in this verse, there are 100 big ideas. Let's look at a few of them. My first question for you today as it relates to this verse is, so how does God know what's going on in my heart? How does God know what's going on in my heart? No, Augustus doesn't know what's going on in my heart. No president has ever known what's going on in my heart. Sometimes my wife doesn't know what's going on in my heart. How does God know what's going on? What did he just tell us about God? That God knows when you're poor in spirit. 1 First of all, of course, he reads minds. He knows everything. He made your mind. He enables your mind to work. He upholds all things by the word of his power. By him do all things consist, even your heart and your mind. He knows the inside of your heart and your mind as you might know your bedroom or a playground or a hunting woods that you like. He knows you intimately all the time. But he knows all the thoughts of everybody on earth at all times. Think of that. But he also knows all the thoughts of everyone who has ever lived, who is now in paradise or Hades. More than that, he knows all the thoughts of everyone who will ever be born. Now that's a lot. But he is omniscient. He is the creator. He knows his creation. He knows how many atoms are in each rock or each tree or each stream, and where the atoms are going and what's going on with the proton and the nuclei and the negatrons. What are they? Electrons, yes. It's been a while. So, God knows what's in your heart. You can't hide it from God. And if you are poor in spirit, he will know it. He said in Exodus chapter 3, I know their problems. I have heard their problems. I know their problems. Chapter 6, verse 20, he said, blessed are you poor. Did Jesus really think that the Father knows if you mean your prayer? He hears what we pray, but how can he know if we mean our prayer? Because he knows all of your hidden thoughts. He knows things about you that you don't know about yourself. He has heard every word you've ever spoken, every prayer you've ever prayed, every diary you've written in, every conversation you've had on your telephone or with people, every grumble, every complaint, every cry. He knows it all. And he knows the inside of your heart. Exodus chapter 3, I have heard it and I have seen it. I know their problems. Next, in chapter 6 and verse 20 of Luke, yours is the kingdom of God. Well, I have lots of problems going on, Lord, and I have things that I can't do anything about, so what can you do to help me? This is Jesus' answer. He has placed you in his kingdom. No king, no authority, no nation, no state, no county, no enemy, no relative, no bank can keep you from him ever in any way. No jail can hold you from him. What did Paul cry? Death cannot hold us. No one can really execute you because the moment you have passed away, you are in a twinkling of an eye, caught up into heaven to be with him, into paradise. A court, maybe in North Korea, maybe China, maybe Burma, maybe Saudi, maybe the USA. A court might condemn you, but if God says saved, who's going to win that argument? Colossians chapter 1, we are already translated into the kingdom of his dear son. As the hymn says, I am hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never traitor foul, never traitor stand, never fulcrum foul, never traitor stand. When I go to God in prayer, it doesn't matter what the government thinks or my enemy thinks or whoever it is. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they want. It doesn't matter what they say about me. I am there with the real king. And he knows my heart. In chapter 6 and verse 20 of Luke, Jesus said, yours is the kingdom of God. What's that say about God's heart? What's that say about Jesus' heart and the Father's heart and the Spirit's heart? Jesus was pretty sure that the Father does not want you to think of yourself as poor forever. Blessed are you, poor in spirit, for now. We must think that we are poor in ourselves to come to Him, but He also wants us to understand that we are rich in Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings that you can imagine. Jesus said 20 different ways, because I live, you shall live. You are now with me and in me, and you are as eternal as I am. My blessings are eternal, and my eternal blessings reside in you, and you will reside in me with my eternal blessings forever. We must see all of our problems through that filter. Our loneliness, our singleness, our relationships, our bills, we must see them through that filter. It was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now that Robin Williams killed himself. Could have bought any car he wanted, paid cash for it. Could have seen any friend that he'd want to see. If he called up a president and said, hey, I'd like to sit down with you next Tuesday, the president would have said, sure, any president. Would have said, sure, that'd be a blast. He had fame, he had homes, but he was not poor toward God. He was poor in his spirit, but he was not poor toward God. He was proud toward God. I don't need God. That God stuff is stupid. God's wisdom is dumb. Well, he was poor in his heart. He wouldn't have killed himself. Well, he was too proud for God. He did not trust the Father's heart, as Jesus did and as Jesus wants you to. In chapter 6 and verse 20, Jesus says, yours is the kingdom of God. Oh, what kingdom is that? Oh, the Creator's kingdom. The one who has all power and wisdom, that God has or wants to place us in His kingdom. That He can do this, that He will do this, or that He has done this. If He has already done this, then we are His people. And again, every problem has to be filtered through that knowledge, that I am His and He is mine. He wants us to know, Jesus wanted us to know, that we are eternally connected to the Almighty Creator, that we belong in the holy city that's going to come down from heaven, that we are already members of the eternal kingdom, that we are already the children of God and the friends of God, that we are right now in the real kingdom with the real wealth, which is the Holy Spirit, the real soldiers who are the angels, the real King, Jesus, the real laws, the law of Jesus, and the real membership. Right now we are citizens of heaven with the saints in light. Christians in China, what is China? It's small dust in the balance, Isaiah said. Christians in Saudi Arabia, what is Saudi Arabia? The drop in the bucket. That's biblical. That's what God's comment on all the nations and all the people to try to hurt us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, or if you like, you can turn to the back of your bulletin and read it there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul speaks for Jesus. And Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in earth, heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, to understand, to begin to take in the breadth with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, dash, to know the love of Christ. Why is the dash there? Because Paul can't write grammatically. At this moment, it is such a big idea, he can't finish the sentence. It is so enriching and fulfilling and so meaningful because he has suffered. He understands the questions now. This is the answer that he has seen from God through the Scripture. And his heart is so full of this for poor Gentiles who are coming out of demonism in Ephesus, who are coming out of loneliness, who still have problems. I want you to know, let's read it again, verse 18, that you may be able to understand, to comprehend is better because it means to get it all, with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You can't ever completely understand it, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It is amazing that we think of Jesus like this. We don't think of ourselves like this. Particularly when we hear that we have cancer, when we hear that we've lost our job, when our wife divorces us, when our husband won't talk to us, we don't feel what Paul is talking about. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we go to church. That's why we invite others to church, so that they may hear this sort of thing from God as he describes his love for us. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I tell you what, when you've got cancer, you can ask or think of a lot. When your loved one has turned away from you in disgust, you can ask or think of a lot. I can't say everyone. I will say to you that everyone here, including myself, has known that pain. You do during the course of a lifetime. Paul is writing to them. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can imagine, according to his power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." I didn't stress it before, but let's stress it now. The angel came in Luke chapter 2 and said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." There is a sign for you. The announcement is for you. And now here in Luke, this is a little bit different than the one in Matthew. Matthew says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," stating the general principle. But here in Luke is, "Blessed are you poor." He has made it personal. He's talking to you. Shepherds were not well thought of course, and no one had ever taken notice of them. But God is taking notice of, has always taken notice of them, and now he's telling them about it through the angel. "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." God is the omniscient, immutable, omnipresent, merciful, involved, committed, omnipotent, holy, compassionate, concerned, mighty King who loves you. We interrupt this message for a song that I used to hear on the radio and have on some of my old records back many, many years ago. Some of you have heard it before, some of you have not. And so this is a song by the Carpenters. I'll say goodbye to love. No one ever cared if I should live or die. Time and time again, the chance for love has passed me by, and all I know of love is how to live without it. I just can't seem to find it. So I made my mind up, I must live my life alone. Though it's not the easy way, I guess I've always known I'd say goodbye to love. It goes on. All the years of useless search have finally reached an end. Loneliness and empty days are going to be my only friend. From this day, love is forgotten. I'll go on as best I can. Isn't that a great song? What a happy song to sing as you're going down the road with your girlfriend in the car, eh? But that is how many, many, many of us feel. If not all the time, then sometimes. God unveiled this sad world to tell you, one of two things. You are not alone, or you don't have to be alone. And that's why he created the church. So that we're not a billion people, each struggling to get through all by ourselves, but that we will be groups of 50 or 20 or 100 of people who are friends, who are working together, walking together, and sharing together, and liking each other, and treating each other honestly, and listening to each other, and sharing our hearts with each other. God has invaded this world with this message: you don't have to be alone. This is your choice. Jesus told Levi the traitor this. Jesus told the prostitute this, who washed his feet with her perfume. He told the leper who came to him begging for cleanness. He told the paralytic who were lowered on ropes into his home. Some of you know that I visit a paralytic each week for an hour, hour and a half, and listen and talk and share. And pretty easy for him to feel alone. He said this to Mary from Magdala, who was possessed by seven demons, and she had spent her life walking down the street snapping and snarling until he healed her. He said this to the sheep, sinner, you don't have to wander the hills alone in the dark. He said this to the coin, sinner, you don't have to lie in the dust, forgotten and lost. He said this to the sun, sinner, you don't have to eat bean pods with the pigs. He said this to Bartimaeus, you have never sat here one day alone. I have been with you every day. The Father has been with you every day. He said this to the widow with her mites that she no longer had. I have seen your sacrifice. I know your heart. I care about what you have done and who you are. He said this to Lazarus, dying at the rich man's gates. God, he was not alone. God sent his angels to bring him to paradise. He said this to the thief on the cross. You are not alone. The thief on the cross, all of his friends had gone away or they were in jail. Thieves don't have many people that love them. They don't earn it. They haven't deserved it. But he said to the thief on the cross, because you are poor in spirit, you will never be alone again, never again. Today we'll see each other in paradise. He said to Peter, the man who had disqualified himself from ever serving him again, you are forgiven. You are not alone. It struck me as I was preparing this week that another way to say this was said in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's said like five times in the Bible, in Deuteronomy and in Joshua a couple of times, and it's quoted in the New Testament, I will never leave you or forsake you. You are not alone. But if it was Zeus sending Joshua in, he'd have said, looky here, Joshua, I'll be on my mountain partying. Good luck. If it was Buddha who sent Joshua in, he'd say, Joshua, I'm in my grave. I can't help you a lick. Have a nice day. If it was Darwin sending him in, he'd say, man, everything I told you was a lie, so you wouldn't have to admit that there's a God. I apologize. If Ra was sending Joshua in, he'd say, I only deal with the high priest. Be gone. If it was the Nile that they worshipped, the Nile would say, personifying him, I am just going to sit here flowing. While you go do your stuff and you come back, I'll still be flowing here impersonal. I don't care. If it was money that we worship, our money would say, I don't care anything about you. Not only am I dead, I've never lived. I've never had a thought. I'm just a tool. I'm just a thing. Of all the gods that men have ever thought up, there is only one God who has ever said, I want to live in your heart. That is the God that we didn't make up. The God who invaded earth to say to us, you don't have to be alone. Heavenly Father, we come today praising your name, worshiping you, and glad that we're worshiping you, not money, not fun, not things, not wrong ideas, not television shows or college nonsense or Heavenly Father. We're so glad that you sent all these wonderful ideas through your Son and through your Spirit. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this Christmas. Remind us that we are not alone. And if we're not your child yet, remind us that we don't have to be alone. Teach us to call out and cry to you and to worship you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. The girls will come and lead us in our final song.